heart and be our personal Savior. And with that acceptance and that invitation, we think that the work that God has for us is finished. But it's not. It's just starting. So I want to ask you this morning, how many of you here this morning have an unfinished project waiting for you at home? I would say almost all of us have some kind of a project, some kind of a goal that we are working on, or at least from time to time that we have one. Now my next question will probably divide us up evenly. How many of you will only do one project at a time, and you will not even think about starting another one until the first one is finished? Then there's the other side. How many of you can have two or three projects kind of laying around? Now, if you don't put these different types of people working on the same project, can you understand why there are conflicts? But you can also understand why they complement each other and make for a good blend if it's done properly. Now, all of them things that I just asked, I'm guilty of every one of them. Yeah. So this morning, my real topic isn't conflicting personalities, but instead I want to remind you that God is going to finish what He has started in you. And that this truth also applies to Carlisle Church. I'm not talking this morning just of us individually or even us as a group, but I'm talking about the ministry that Carlisle Church has, that you people as a church family have, that God will complete that work. He isn't done with us yet. In fact, I get the feeling that He's just starting sometimes. And I want to try and show you and convince you to see yourself through God's eyes and to see how much God values you. How many of you have ever taken time to just try and do that? To just sit back and see how God's looking at you. To try and recollect or realize or feel how God appreciates you, not just because of the work that you do, but because of who you are. I hope that you will find God's true and new light in and about you. You see, I'm convinced that when we take to heart, when we really listen to what God says about us, that we will be overwhelmed by His love and we will begin to see ourselves in His light, and we will then be hard-pressed to be down on ourselves. Everybody gets a bad day. Everybody gets down on themselves at some time or another. Some of us more than others. But God never gets down on us. Ever. He only embraces us with His love. And He encourages us to step up, to get out of the slum, and get active once again in His work, because He is not done with us yet and will not be done with us until the rapture of the church. And we find our place in that wonderful city. This morning, I want to share three things to remember as we talk about how God will finish what He has started. First, I want to remember God's great love for you and how He rejoices over you. You see, God spares nothing in his search for you. He gathered the greatest search party that has ever been formed in order to find you. And as they searched, he had his people pray for you. And you will never fully know how deep, how thorough, and how costly that his search was. We can't comprehend that kind of love. No matter where we are, no matter how much floundering we do, no matter how we wander outside of the Christian life, of the church family, God is looking for us. He is searching for us. He is bringing us back within his wings because he is not done with us yet. He needs to finish his work in us. You do not belong to him today because of chance. This isn't a thing where you just all of a sudden walked around the corner. Oh, there's God. The only reason you didn't see him before you walked around the corner is because you weren't looking. And he placed himself in your path on purpose because he searched for you and he found you. And he said, I am not finished with you yet. It is not a stroke of fate. You are his because he never gave up his search until he found you. And if you're sitting here this morning and haven't asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, he is still searching. Because he has not finished his work in you. Romans 8 verse 32 says this, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him graciously, give us all things? He gave his son. He died on the cross. We sang this morning about the power of his blood. He loved us that much and still does. Why would he not want all things for us? Why would we think that Jesus died on the cross and our sins are forgiven, so we're good to go? Where is it you find that in the scripture? His work in us is not done. We need to allow him to complete it. Do you know that God rejoices because you're his? How many of you parents have ever walked into your children's bedroom at night, right before you go to bed, just to look at them, all quiet, all peaceful, laying in that crib or that tiny bed, and you just stand there silently, just rejoicing that God has blessed you with a child? It's the same thing that God does. He is standing out there looking at us, peeking into our room, to see us all peaceful and quiet and proud and rejoices because we are His child. You ever think of God just rejoicing? Or do you think of God as, well, He's done His work and he's now He moves on to another one? You don't know God like I know God. He lays out the path. He has us do our work. Then He rejoices. My dad used to tell me that when it thundered, that was God having a party. And every parent had a story like that for their kids. When we do His work and we wait for Him to complete His work in us, God is having a party. There is thunder rolling. Do you remember how your heart just jumped with joy when you seen that baby laying there? How much does God rejoice over you? We are His child. Remember, God rejoices over you, not based on how good you are, but He loves you for who you are. Can we just go out and do the work that God laid out for us? That isn't why He's rejoicing. Because we can do the work, we can follow the word that the Scripture lays out for us and still not be a born-again Christian. Now, I like to think that we do this work and God appreciates it, but He rejoices when we ask Him to come into our life and be our Savior. So the second important reminder is God is working in you. In our passage, it talks about the good work that has been started. That work specifically is God living in you. It is God changing you. It is God molding you, using you for His good and His pleasure. You see, we are all a work in progress. You are a project that God is working on, and you will not be completed until Christ returns. So you don't just go do God's work for 4 or 5 days and say, "Oh, I'm good now." Christ hasn't returned yet. Just so you know, that's the one and only work that God wants us to do on the Sabbath day. Because that work is continual. It goes on and on and on. Allowing God to change you, allowing God to mold you and to use you, many times it's painful and many times it's hard, but it's always rewarding and fulfilling. We can look around and see how God has done so much in someone's life. And what you see today is a result of God working. You heard me tell the story of where Jim Hayes and one other guy and myself went around through the community businesses and just walked in the door and asked if we could pray for them and their company. Well, that just wasn't for me. But it wasn't a failure. Because God wasn't done working in me yet. And he pointed me in a different direction, which ultimately ended me up here. We always want to be open to God's work in our life. Because the truth be told, we gave up our rights a long time ago. Or at least the rights as we perceived them to be. When we ask Jesus Christ to come into our life, the rights that we think are rights really are not rights because they were erased with the work of Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean we can't go do things, but it does mean that God is not done with us, that we need to continue. We can look around and we can see how God has done so much in someone's life. What do you see today is a result of God working. We always want to be open to God's work in our life because the truth be told, we gave up our rights a long time ago. We told God that he has control of our everything. And if that's true, then we must continue to allow him to chisel away, to sometimes convince us, sometimes discipline us, and always use us how he sees fit. When I just think about the story I just told you, some of us that tried to do what I tried to do, and found out it wasn't working, it wasn't me, it was whatever, would just quit. Well, just go on about my everyday life. But some of us looks to see what God wants us to do and are willing to do what he sees fit for us to do. You see, there's nothing you can't do without Jesus Christ. So what changes has God done in your life this last year? You ever stop to take an inventory? But what changes that you expected did not happen? You ever stop to take an inventory? That's what I'm talking about. It didn't happen because God wasn't done with you yet. He is still working in you. How has he used you this last year to minister to others? Now, I will warn you at this point, this is where many Christians begin to grow cold in their Christian experience. They don't surrender control of their lives, and God is not allowed to work in them, and this leads to a disobedience, which leads to sin. Many Christians have lost out because of their unwillingness to grow beyond their salvation experience. So I was reading the Ten Commandments this morning. While I was reading it, my mind was... And it comes to us, how many people have read these Ten Commandments? How many people have studied the Ten Commandments? How many people have heard the Ten Commandments, studied the Ten Commandments, and still do what they want to do? Oh, number 6, that doesn't apply to me. Oh, number seven is, maybe on a good day. See, this is what I'm talking about with disobedience leads to sin. And when we don't follow those Ten Commandments, that is a sin. Now, having said that, we're not perfect. God knows that. But he wants us to come back to it if we stray. Because if we stray and don't come back, God cannot complete his work for us, in us, with us, to us, for us. Many Christians have lost out because of their unwillingness to grow beyond their salvation experience. There's no such thing as camping right outside the pearly gates. You see, when you get saved, you must continue on your spiritual journey. If you don't keep climbing, then you will eventually fall away. God will finish what he has started in you, but you must remember that God is the one working in you. It's not you, it's not your project. You can't produce what only God gave you. Only God, through his Holy Spirit, can produce that. So what does he produce? Well, I got two sentences typed down here that tells me what he produces. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and the last one is self-control. So the third important thing to remember is God doesn't see failure when he looks at you. We like to keep score, don't we? It's human nature to keep an account, to keep that score, to try and find a winner and a loser. We bring this whole idea into our relationship with God. We rate ourselves in relationships based on many things. We look at outward appearance. We compare ourselves to others. And we look at worldly possessions. So because we use these type of things, does that mean God does too? God does not read us as a failure or a success. Did you ever think of that? In God's eyes, there's no such thing as a failure. That's why he will continue to work in us. That's why he will allow us to complete his work. The only failure there is if we don't follow Jesus Christ. And that really, technically, by definition of the word, isn't a failure. It's just a choice of action with a price tag that you're not going to want to appreciate. We have a real problem in this area. I believe that not only do we apply real standards of success or failure to ourselves, but we think somehow that God judges us by those same kinds of standards. But when it's all said and done, the only thing that really matters is, do we have a personal relationship with God? You see, when we have that personal relationship, then all of these things that God has for us to do and will complete it, will help us complete it, is automatic when we accept Jesus Christ. It becomes something that you want to do. Do we love Jesus Christ? Do our words and our actions show that? Does our work for the kingdom show that we love Jesus Christ? And when the Father sees you, He's not looking at your report card. He's not looking at your work schedule. He's not checking out your paycheck stub. He's looking at your heart. And He's asking, do you love Me? Do you love Him more than anything else that's put in front of you? Will you serve Him? When God sees us, if we are Christian, He sees a heart that has been covered by His Son's blood, and He sees a person who is living for Him. And with that, our responsibility is to keep growing and never stop growing. This thing is, oh, I'm too old to do that at somebody else's turn. That isn't even falling into God's vocabulary. He has something for us to do if we just look for it and allow Him to complete His work in us. Part of growing process is failure. In fact, if you don't embrace the fact that you're going to fail along the way, you will never grow. With every discouragement, we just need to get that much more determined. With every slam of the door, we just knock that much harder. We don't give up. We believe that God is still working in us and through us. I believe, I really, truly believe that God is raising up Carlisle Church. And if we don't get down, we just keep getting ready. We continue to do His work. It's time to bring in the harvest. It's time to meet those neighbors. It's time to talk to those strangers. It's time to bring them to Carlisle Church. Let's share what God has for them. Let's share His love. Let's share His light. Let's share His life. A life which makes a difference. And remember, God is still working in you. And all of God's people said,